Hello, Minnesota boxing fans, and welcome to another episode of the Minnesota Fight Night podcast. I'm Brian Johnson, and my co-host is Sean Strauss. In this episode, we're pleased to chat with Minnesota boxer Corey Thompson about his December 9th bout on the Big Q Promotions card at Element Gym in St. Paul. The Nordic Warrior, 4-2, takes on Wayman the Slim Reaper Carter, 4-7-1, of Topeka, Kansas. Also joining us is Delico James, Thompson's trainer and co-owner of Work Gym in Hopkins. Thompson, who chatted with us after Friday's weigh-in, is fit and ready for battle. We'll see you at the fights. Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
All right, right on. So we're at Element Gym. This is after the weigh-ins. I think the only person who hasn't weighed in so far is Trey Martin. I think they're waiting on him to show up. But everyone made weight, I think. I didn't see anyone clamoring that they didn't make weight. We're standing here with Corey Thompson, the Nordic Warrior. We've had him on the podcast before, but, dude, how have you been? You look shredded. You look like you're ready, dude.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I've been great. The last year, I've just really taken the time to focus on my training, commit to boxing, and I've just had a lot of people, three people specifically, my wife, my manager, Nick Rogers, and then my partner, Kristen Wessel, who've taken aboard running the gym, helping with my family, my six kids, so that I can dedicate to training. So the last year has been working full-time, running the gym, and then going up to the cities 3 days a week, and boxing's been the light of my life. It's been everything.
Well, one of the last times I think I saw you was at Like's gym, and I mentioned, you know, that I had seen you working out at work a lot, and I know you were basically doing some different things, you know, to heal your body and to just kind of come out stronger from some previous injuries. You know, what can you tell me about that and how things are going now? You know, what have you been doing different?
Yeah, well, I found out that you know, a lot of my boxing is self-taught. After I learned with Chris Holt when I moved away when I was 18, I just kind of started to be self-taught. So I made a lot of mistakes that I got away with just because I'm athletic and fast and strong. But learning the details and slowing things down so that you can make the correct moves and optimize your power and speed, that's basically what I've learned to do.
Are you still working down there at Work Gym, or
yep,
that's your home base for this fight?
Yeah, that's my home base. Delico James is my coach. He was at the fight that I had my last fight a year ago for Ignite Fights. He saw that I had potential, and he offered to start training me, offered up his time. He actually trains my son too, my 13-year-old son Jaden, who's a boxer.
That gym is just on fire right now. I mean, whether it's mixed martial arts fighters or boxing, amateur and professional, you know, I've got nothing but respect for them. And the number one, they're great. I got to ask them how they do their videos and stuff on Instagram, because they do such amazing videos. I want to do videos like that. But no, you got Tim Bender, who's on this card. So you got to be kind of cool, you know. It's like you're not just flying solo from your gym on this one. You can kind of feel like, no, you guys are rolling as a team.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, also one of my main training and sparring partners, Terrence Walker, he just fought yesterday.
Yeah, we saw that majority draw, I think, was the decision.
Yep.
I heard he went on 7 days' notice.
Yep.
Man, I saw some clips. He was looking good.
Yeah, I thought he had it. It was
for
a
7 days'
fight,
notice, but man. I think the consensus is if he gets a training camp, he's going to beat that guy.
Where did
for
he
sure
fight?
What was that, South
Sioux
Dakota?
Falls, South Dakota.
Sioux Falls.
Yep. Nice. Yep, so yeah, he, you know, pretty much everybody at Work is just they're about the work, man. They put that at the first part of the that's what it's all about. You know, it's about the work. But everybody forms really good relationships and a camaraderie because everybody's there for the same reason. They're there to work. Where you go to other gyms, and some other gyms they're playing and they're not really working, they're not really focused, but they don't tolerate that at work.
When when you're looking at that gym in particular, like I said, they've been blowing up with mixed martial arts especially. I mean, this past week, that Nate Richardson on UFC Fight Pass, man, wow. What can you tell me about that? Are you, you get to spar with them all, or you get to work out with them?
No,
or just get to say hi to them and meet them?
No, I really haven't even got to meet him yet, honestly. I think he goes at different times. I'm only there at night, 3 days a week. So, but I did watch his fight. He took the guy out with a body shot. He had him completely broken down before that. And so,
well, I don't know if you saw the clip. Like I said, the guys at work, they do amazing. Number one, obviously the fundamental work. Just forget the social media stuff. But on the social media videos, I love them. And one of the things they broke down was, you know, you practice it in the gym and then you execute it in the ring. And that's exactly what they did with that Nate Richardson. You know, they showed the combination that he threw, you know, in practice, and then they showed it, you know, in the fight. And that was the one that dropped him. And I was just like, yeah, exactly, man.
No, it's a science. And they're like one of the elite gyms. I've been to some really, you know, high-toted gyms with some champions, like B&B in Omaha, Nebraska, and it seems like they have a similar method of their training and similar mindset. So I think work is really going to – I mean, it's really kind of a new gym. So I think even though they're having success early, they're gonna have a lot of success in the near future.
Yeah, I think one of the – I mean, I think – Robbie Lloyd was the fighter I interviewed there, but one of the first big fighters that I had noticed out of there was Nick Compton. And then I think seeing guys like DeLorean Caraway down there and stuff like that.
Me and DeLorean, we sparred. I haven't sparred with Nick, but, you know, I've been in sparring with him. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely need to get down there again. Like I said, I got nothing but respect for them. It's great to hear that, you know, they're having a positive impact. You know, are you feeling it, you know, in sparring, like just getting back to the fundamentals? Like, are things just hitting at a different level that they haven't in a long time before?
I mean, it's like not even like in a long time, like the first time, you know, really. It was hard to slow things down at first, you know, because I've kind of been go, go, go. But when they do 4-minute rounds and 30-second breaks, you know, you can't just waste energy. So, learning to slow it down was a little bit tricky at first, but once I got it, that's where I felt like it's really going to pay off.
I want to ask you, Corey, about when we were talking to Coach Q here, one thing he said was that there are fighters like you here locally who just want fights and want to stay busy, and that's sort of was the impetus for him to get into the promotional business himself and have events like this. What can you say about that, first of all, and how, I guess, how did you get hooked up with Coach Q and Element here?
Well, I mean, it was all my manager, Nick, that dealt with him. I had heard of, I met Coach Q, and I had known of him, and he's got a good reputation. I know a lot of people from Element. I actually bought my first competition boxing ring from Dalton when I opened up my gym. So, you know, there was already that familiarity with Element, and then just talking to Q and meeting him and seeing what he's all about, I'm really impressed.
Man, so feeling good, looking good. Weight was what round? What did you come at today?
183. It's funny because it was supposed to be at 175. My opponent couldn't make 175. He usually fights at cruiserweight, and he missed weight. He made 185.
Did you guys just agree to a catch weight or something?
I haven't talked to anybody yet, but I'm going to fight him no matter what. So, yeah, he came in at 185. I came in at 183, which is the contracted weight. My last fight, I actually missed weight. I dropped 19 pounds on my weigh-in day, and I missed weight by a pound. So, moving forward, I feel confident with making weight at 175. Actually, I was going to come in at 175 for this fight, and I talked to Caleb Truax, and he said, no, don't do that. Come in at the contracted weight. I was like, well, it's kind of a statement for me. He's like, don't do that. You come in exactly at the ounce that you need to come in at. So I listened to him. He's been kind of a mentor to me.
Well, you look at his last fight against Burley Brooks, a taller, you know, guy who normally fought at a higher weight. And then, yeah, coming in at that higher weight, it's like, you don't want to be giving away any advantages if you don't have to. That's for sure.
That's right.
You know, it's your health at stake too. So, but no, it's good to know like that you can do it if you have to. Obviously.
Mm-hmm. What do you normally walk around at?
So for my last fight, I walked around 200 pounds, mm-hmm. but now I'm walking more at like 185 to 187. So, you know, I actually am thinking about going down to 168 eventually. Oh, so
wow.
Didn't have to do any cutting today until I got here, and I just was a little over a pound.
You're looking really jacked, though, man. You really think you get down 168? I mean, how much do you got that you can cut? I mean, there's not much to go away.
Well, you know, I think for my last fight, I was built more like a football player. You know, just a little bit too heavy a muscle. And that muscle is starting to go. It's starting to elongate a little bit. And I think it's going to continue to.
Well, obviously, you know, you don't want to be too muscle-bound, right? Because that's not doing you necessarily any favors. It's slowing you down, maybe. You know, with guys like Slink, I think that's what people think. You know, you're just this big muscle-bound guy. You're not going to be able to move. You know, and I think he surprised a lot of people with that Nico Ali Walsh fight. You know, he was able to move.
He did, but he's got a different body type than me. Yeah. You know, I have a longer frame. I'm tall, and I just have to use my reach, you know, use my reach.
So yeah, you got a little bit of a time to kill here overnight, and then tomorrow, what is it? I think doors are at 5, fights are at 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how you plan on just relaxing and, you know, just chilling out? You got family that are obviously probably in town.
Mm-hmm. I'm by myself tonight.
Well, that's probably not a bad thing for tonight.
Yep.
You know, if everyone rolls in on fight day, then you can be excited, you know, at fight time.
It's actually, you know, it's kind of tough to be alone, but, you know, a lot of the great fighters like Marvelous Hagler, you know, Marvin Hagler, he would isolate himself, and there's benefits to doing that. So I'm hoping it brings out a caged animal in me.
I was listening to an audiobook of Andre Ward's. I think it's called like Killing the Name or Killing the Legend. It's great, great book, you know, and he reads it, so it's even better. But one of the things he talked about was an amateur tournament, and he talked about going there, and Virgil, was it Virgil Hunter, I think, is his trainer,
mm-hmm.
Or was his trainer.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Kansas City or somewhere that had snow, and he had never seen snow before, so he was all excited. And he said that because of the weather, they had all this stuff inside, you know, like fun stuff, like arcade and, I don't know, like a pool and, you know, I don't know, bowling alley and all this kind of fun stuff. And his trainer was like, nah, this is a business trip. You know, it's like, you got to keep your mind right. And he's like, you're going to see that those people that are out there just doing all this stuff, they're going to get distracted or they're not going to be ready. And it sounds like that's what happened, you know, from what he said in the book. So he was up in his room concentrating, you know, on mentally getting prepared, which doesn't necessarily sound exciting, but I mean, it's what you got to do. You got to see it and then before you can do it, right?
Yeah, no, I'm going to go to my hotel. I'm going to eat and then I'm going to read The Art of War. So,
oh, nice.
You know, and Andre Ward, by the way, he's my favorite all-time boxer of anybody that I don't maybe personally know. But yeah, he's my all-time favorite boxer.
One of my dad's favorite too. I mean, for multiple reasons. I mean, obviously great, great guy, great fighter and all that. But I think one of the things that attracted my dad to him was his faith.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
You know, the son of God, SOG is his nickname, you know? And so my dad really took a shining to him. And then the more we watched him, the more we liked him. I think the only time we might've been rooting against him was at the time we were Kovalev fans, and we've kind of, you know, with that, all of the stuff that happened with that, breakdown of those two.
yeah,
I mean,
sure did.
We were always Andre Ward fans, but we came out of that as stronger Andre Ward fans for sure. You know?
Yeah. Well, Andre Ward, so I grew in 2004 when he was in the Olympics. I watched him and kind of fell in love with not only his style, but just his attitude and his faith. And then a few years later, when he turned pro, he ended up fighting my stepdad, Chris Holt, my boxing coach, in a pro match. So that was kind of a difficult predicament to be put in. Of course, I'm rooting for Chris in that one, but yeah, he's my all-time favorite.
And Kenny Koss shook him up there in that one fight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. I'm gonna share that. I've got the fight film now. I got a bunch of fight films from Kurt Noltemeyer from ringwise.com. He sells fight films, and he's got a bunch of Minnesota ones. And the plan is, I want to hold like get-togethers, and I'm gonna talk to gym owners or other places, you know, that maybe want to host it, you know, and say, hey, we can put up a screen or something and just let people come in for free and have it be a social thing, get people together and watch some fight films, you know.
Nice.
So, but yeah, that's one of the main reasons I got it was because I was always looking for the Kenny Cost Andre Ward fight, and every time I was Googling or whatever, it would say like Andre Durrell, and I'm like, no, Andre Ward. You know,
I think he shook him in the second round, and a lot of people, because Andre Ward got shook early in his career, they never thought he'd be, you know, a champion or anything, but now he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, good for him. We should probably let Corey go.
Yeah, dude, I wasn't even planning on getting this much time from you. I always a pleasure to see you, man. Yeah, and thank you so much. And dude, we're just excited. I mean, this whole event is going to be great. But the fact that you're yourself and all these Minnesota fighters are on it, it's just like getting a candy store, man. It's going to be great.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all you guys do to support boxing, especially here in Minnesota. So
love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And now we'll hear from Delico James of Work Gym.
About the editing and stuff, great stuff. I was like, I need to learn how to do what you guys are doing and make better clips to share.
Uh-huh.
But then I was asking Corey about, like, you know, you got all these guys there, like, you know, the Nick Comptons and DeLorean Carraway was there. But I said, now this most recent one, Nate Richardson, I was asking if he saw that or if he met him or got to spoil him. He's like, no, not yet. And I was saying, yeah, that video you guys shared about, you know, the fundamentals, you know, you'll do it in the gym and then in the ring. I was like, that's exactly right. And he's attesting to you guys basically bringing him back right now, Corey is, to fundamentals. He said when he came to you guys, he said basically, you know, he thought he knew what he was doing, you know, and you guys brought him back to square one. And he also mentioned 4 minute rounds and 38 second rest. I mean, you guys, you're living up to your moniker there, the work, man. You're making
you
work.
Have to. The gas tank, the legs are the first thing to go. So,
tomorrow there's amateur fights and there's pro fights here. So I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, are any fighters from your gym at the Circle of Discipline deal
No,
tomorrow?
Not this time. No.
Or what about the following week at the Silver Gloves?
No.
St. Cloud.
No.
Okay. But I know you do have some amateur fighters.
Yeah, I have. Jessica, she's fighting tomorrow, but I think in Wisconsin, so I'm not. Okay. I won't be there.
Sure.
So, for that one, obviously I'll be here. But
now I've only been down to your guys' gym once. I don't even remember if you were in there when I was talking to Robbie that day.
I was in there. I was probably working.
I gotta get back down there, but just like when we were at CMB last night, I was saying, you know, I can always tell them their gym because of that mural in the background.
Right.
Can I always tell your guys' gym because of the color scheme and the green?
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm like, you just know. Like, and more importantly, like, the work like you guys are doing. It's
right.
Just like, it's not a whole lot of talking or whatever. It's just like, bam, bam, bam. You know, it's like people pushing sleds, hitting this, doing that. And it's kind of like, it's cool.
Yeah, you got to be on these guys, so...
So as far as all that goes on social media, who's doing all that stuff? You guys got a social media person? You're doing it?
Nah, me, unfortunately.
All right, so you're the guy I got to become best friends with. So, I mean, Brian and I, we've been doing this for a little while now. We're trying to branch out with the podcast and do some video stuff.
Okay.
And I was talking to Fight News Todd earlier, and I was like, man, I'm not going to need pointers, man. What are you doing? Because I'm like, because when we're on site, I'm like, our audio sucks, you know, and we're trying. We're getting better.
Uh-huh.
But no, dude, like... So it's you and
Maurice.
Yeah,
we're the two owners. So.
Right. So how do you guys break that down with, like, the, like I said, because you guys do so much there with the mixed martial arts, you do the boxing, I think you do personal training.
Yep.
You know, you got the amateur fighters. You know, that's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Is it just you guys, or do you have like a team of trainers underneath?
It's just
you?
Us two.
Just you two.
Just us two. Yeah, we do everything.
Wow.
Here, so.
Well, everything's
calculated.
Again, living
though.
Up to that name, man.
Yeah,
you're living up to work.
I mean, everything's calculated, though. So you make sure we put things into place.
And tell me again, where are you located?
In Hopkins.
In Hopkins.
Yeah.
Okay. How long have you been there?
4 years.
Okay.
105. Yeah. So.
What can you tell us about your background in boxing? Were you...
Oh, man. I've been in combat sports since I was, like, six, you know. Born in Chicago, moved to Wisconsin, came here for school, went to the U, you know, graduated from that. Mo actually played football for them as well.
Okay.
So he played football for them, graduated, and then after that, I just wanted to keep it going, and then, you know, open up a place, and here we are.
When you first started, how long was it before you guys actually had competitive fighters?
Oh, well, I've been working with competitive fighters for a long time.
So that was maybe even before the gym started?
Yeah, even before the gym. So I was like at an independent gym still working with guys. So and even before the independent gym, I was, you know, always sparring and then helping guys out, helping MMA guys out, helping some boxers out as well, too. So.
Any big things coming up? You know, you got this, obviously, and locally we were talking about, obviously, the Armory Show and the Silver Gloves the following week. Is there anything on the horizon, you know, for you guys, like having fighters like maybe fight on certain shows that are coming up or next year or anything that you guys are looking out towards or trying to get matchups for?
Well, right now we just looking to get guys better for now, You know what I mean, folks?
Keep them ready, and then when the opportunities come, then they're ready, right?
Yeah, making sure they're not getting bored over the fundamentals. Because a lot of those guys get bored and want to do fancy stuff. I'm like, no.
So how do you do that? How do you keep them, you know, not bored? I mean, because that's a good question. Because you got a lot of obviously equipment in there. I mean, it's small, but you make do like with what you got. Like I said, and I don't see anyone ever doing the same thing twice. It's like they're moving around. Mm-hmm. And I think I've seen videos too where you're talking about like, you don't need equipment for certain things. Like it's just using your body and you know.
You don't. You know, you just it's discipline. You know what I mean? That's where it starts. Discipline. You know what I mean? And then I can't force guys to want to do it. You know what I mean? I can show you, but it's up to you. You know what I mean? So
I assume you're going to be cornering Corey here tomorrow night.
Corey and Tim.
And Tim?
Oh, yep.
Tim Bender. Yeah. We talked to Tim too. He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. Knows what he's doing.
It was funny. So. He was telling me that when we interviewed him, he said that, he goes, quite a few people came up to me and said they listened to it. He goes, I didn't think anyone was going to listen to it. And then afterwards he came up to me and goes, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't think anyone was going to actually listen to the podcast. And I was like, dude, I'm always surprised if anyone listens. So I'm like, don't worry about it.
I listen a lot to it.
Nice. So what can you tell us about, sounds like you saw some potential in Corey and in Tim too, I would assume. Mm-hmm. Can you just talk briefly about those two guys and what you see?
Well, with Tom, I've worked with Tim for a few years right now. Tim always has he has the mindset, you know, he always willing to learn, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel like he knows everything, you know, so everything I give him, he actually implements, you know what I mean? Sometimes in fights, he gets a little happy, but other than that, he brings it down and then he does what he needs to do, you know. I was really involved in this one, especially with his boxing. So making sure that he's sharp and he's sticking behind his jab and things like that. Corey, he has a lot of the combinations. It's more of bringing it down now. You know what I mean? More setting things up. You know, noticing that guys are tired. Noticing like, okay, if I faint here, he's going to bite. Mm-hmm. You know, knowing that he got him. But it's about with him, don't worry about the get back. You know what I mean? They hit you with a good shot. You know what I mean? Then, okay, I'm going to learn from that. Put myself in that same position again to see if he does it again.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Opposed to like, you hit me and I gotta hit you. So it's always gathering, you know. So
trying to turn it more into a chess match and
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Break guys down. You know what I mean?
Hugh mentioned the same thing with Slink. He said that, you know, and I think he spoke in generality about it too, that fighters might do that, you know, get hit and then your instinct is just to wanna brawl and go right after the guy, you know. And you got to resist the urge and be smart, you know.
What's that about Mike Tyson said everyone has a plan until they get hit in the face?
Yeah, I mean, essentially it's saying that, you know, because, you get hit in the face and all of a sudden they just throw everything out the window and say, I want to brawl now. It's like
everything.
And then the guy that hit you in the face is going, all right, I got him.
Exactly. You know? I think what Bernard Hopkins said, he'd rather fight an angry fighter than a calm fighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's way easier.
Bernard's had such a high boxing IQ, and he was fun to watch because
they finally had some footage released from when he fought when he was in prison.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
I saw a clip of it, and I was like, "Whoa!" I'm like, "That's awesome."
Yeah, I gotta see it.
So the guy's in like phenomenal shape all the time. Still
disciplined. You know, he was always disciplined. You know, he didn't go out and party.
Right.
You know what I mean, like some of the other guys would. You know, he didn't eat bad. He always ate clean. You know.
Yeah.
So. His body was a temple, basically. So.
I don't claim to be a boxer, but I still remember, like, there was something in Ring Magazine where he was showing some basic tutorials, like, you know, if the guy's jabbing, like, go this way, you know. And
Get your head off the line when you jab.
Right, right.
Well,
side to side.
What you're
movement.
Talking about, I think it was actually a series, if I recall. I think it was, like, in different issues. It was different punches or whatever. He'd show you how to, like, counter it or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll look. I've got old Ring Magazines. I know I've got it.
So what else can you tell us about yourself? Did you fight as a pro, amateur?
Oh, no, not a pro. Uh-huh. Got a few Emmys, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Got something out there. And I was always a student as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always learning. I stuck with my coach every time, you know. Mm-hmm. Was always asking questions, you know what I mean? Because I already knew what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be a coach. I wanted to teach. Mm-hmm. You know, especially from the things I would see, I'm like, oh man, like they're not really teaching these guys. They're just, you know, not breaking anything down. So I wanted to be that type of a coach, you know. And then
And sometimes people like you make the best coaches because if you're so extremely talented and super successful at a pro level, it seems like things are a little too easy for you and it's a little too natural, and it's maybe hard to impart that to someone who's just trying to learn. Mm-hmm. So, but you kind of have walked the walk of fighters who maybe are starting at a little different level. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, and plus I love coaching. I love, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, watching guys, you know what I mean, develop. You know, that's what I love to do.
If I recall right, I think I messaged you. I don't remember if I was messaging you at the time. If you do the social media, probably.
Most likely me, yeah. Likely.
Someone had reached out to me about gyms in their area, and I had messaged about you and, like, how you guys handle teaching kids. Mm-hmm. And if I recall correctly, I think you said, like, you guys prefer one-on-one with kids. Is that still true?
Yeah, that's still true. We're actually opening kids boxing right now, but it is going to be small setting, you know.
Again, so like a small group, but
yeah, like
just,
small,
but just
group.
Small.
Yeah. I like to do small group. I don't like to do, like, you know,
yeah,
10 or, you know, 20 kids. Probably like 6 to 8 is enough because I really want them to retain the information. I mean, I make it fun because, you know, kids' attention spans and everything like that.
Sure.
Super short. So I try to get those fundamentals in at the same time, make it like a game, you know. So
I always like to try and ask people, you know, how they can find out about you guys. Now, I know you're on social media. It seems like you guys really do Instagram extremely well. So I would, myself, I'd recommend people go on your guys' Instagram. But, you know, when people reach out to you guys, what do you
tell them? How you doing?
Yeah.
We're good.
Website, you know, work.com, basically.
And that's with a U.
Yeah, with a U. And then Instagram. You know, either reach out to me, All Work, or our actual page, workgym.com, you know, Instagram.
I'd love to come down there sometime and actually come with you guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe actually see a little in action, you know, like towards the end of a day or something.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then maybe catch up with you guys when you're done or something.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Nice chatting with you, Rico.
Oh, for sure.